Chavetz Chaim says the following. Says, if we were to compile a list of Torah leaders in the past generation, and we want to see who had the biggest Avos Yisrael, which leader loved everybody, you know who would be on the list? Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim would for sure be on the list. Right? And still, but Chavetz Chaim teaches us that sometimes we have to speak Lashon Hara. Sometimes it's the right thing to speak Lashon Hara. When is it the right thing to speak Lashon Hara?
Never.
Sometimes it's right. When is the right mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara?
If it has to us.
If a person sins, and a Jew reaches a certain level of wickedness, it's permissible to tell others of his misdeeds. We're speaking here of a Jew who was raised in a religious environment, but has cast off the yoke of heaven. Whether the person shamelessly sins in the public or refuses to obey the rulings invested, it is clear that his behavior is not a temporary lapse, but a deliberate rejection of the Torah. So Chavetz Chaim says you are allowed to repeat the wrongdoing of such a person, whether or not he is present. The reason is simple. We allow a Russia to rise up unchecked in our midst, and we do not take a stand against the Rishas, our sorrow does not count it as righteousness, but as foolishness for allowing a cancer to grow unhindered. Obviously, speaking to that person who because of his lapse, it's going to make, let's say, other people, you know, do the same thing as them. Everybody says, oh, there's a nice thing to do, so you should do this. So the time of the year, you should tell people, you know what this person does is wrong. Let people know that this is wrong, what this person is doing.
What's the source for that?
The source? He's going to tell us soon in a minute. Maybe he's going to, bear in mind, perhaps he's going to explain why Silas Shem explains soon. But if a person is a person who you threw off the yoke of Torah mitzvahs, and it's a mitzvah to tell other people, be careful, don't do like him, this is wrong. To say, you know what Mr. A does? What he's doing is wrong. It's not to see what all the things Mr. A does. Yeah, that's wrong, that's bad, that's not what we do. You're allowed to tell people.
Does he give an example?
Chavetz Chaim takes the uncompromising stand. Yeah, he said the example is someone who threw off the yoke, he does anything, he shamelessly sins in public, or refuses to obey the rulings of Bestin. And Chavetz Chaim takes the uncompromising stand. If you see that a Russia doing something that you're not sure of is wrong, you're supposed to judge him as if he definitely sinned. And it's important that we have to know we're not speaking here of a person who was deprived of a meaningful Jewish education and whose upbringing was devoid of religious observance. The Rambam compares such a person to a teenager Shanishpa, a kidnapped Jewish child who sins out of ignorance. Surely it would be wrong to speak of such a person in a derogatory way, right? We're not talking about a person who doesn't know better, correct? And the Rambam Chaim, Chavetz Chaim explained that speaking against a defiant sinner is not Lashon Hara, because the intent is not to denigrate, but to steer people away from this person and his behavior. So that's the difference. It's like I'm trying to put someone, knock someone down. If my whole sole purpose of speaking is to knock this guy down, that's Lashon Hara. If my soul is to help other people and not learn from his bad ways, then that's mitzvah. Right? Let's say I see a guy, he always crosses the street on red. Correct? So now you have the children, they watch this guy, they think it's a mitzvah to go on red. So the mitzvah to tell them, no, what this person does is dangerous. Don't do what he does. This person is wrong. It's not Lashon Hara. I'm not trying to put him down. He's a very nice guy. He all goes on red. He teaches children, don't cross on red. He can kill you some. The same thing spiritually. If you see a guy who goes against the Torah, he goes against the red lights. He crosses against the red lights. He does things that are wrong. So you tell someone, tell children and someone, don't do what this person is doing. It's not to put him down. Just so the children, the other people, don't learn from them. So that's why you're allowed to speak it out. The point is not, the Chavetz Chaim is saying, the intent is not to denigrate the person, but to steer people away from this. And not only that, if the speaker has an ulterior motive to knock this guy down, this sinner, he shouldn't be the one to tell everybody he's doing a sin. Because then, part of his motive is to knock this guy down. It should be a different person. That's what Chavetz Chaim says. If you have any other motive, you shouldn't be the one knocking him down. If your sole motive is that people shouldn't do what he's doing, then it's a mitzvah to tell people, you know, what Mr. So-and-so is doing, it's wrong. You shouldn't learn from him. That's what the Chavetz Chaim says. And he says, we see this in the Pasuk at the Hillel. The Pasuk says, chapter 122, Psukim 7 through 9, says, may there be peace within your wall, serenity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and comrades, I shall speak of peace in your midst. For the sake of the house of Hashem, our God, I will request good of you. So it's interesting, so David HaMelech asks for peace twice. What did he say? May there be peace in your walls, right? And I shall seek peace in your midst. Then he says, for the sake of the house of Hashem, I will request good from you. Chafetz Chaim says, what's the pshat? Why does he say it twice? He already said in the beginning of the pasuk, I shall seek peace. Right? So why at the end of the pasuk, no, I shall seek peace and good. He says, peace is, we only want peace and speak nice to everybody when they're doing good. If they're doing bad, we don't want peace with such people. We don't have to beat them up, but we don't want to say, oh, everything is fine. So first beginning of the pasuk, you say you should have peace, that's in general. The end of the pasuk says, we seek peace when it's good. When people are doing the right thing, we should make peace with them. But if doing the wrong thing, you shouldn't have peace with these people. You should let everybody know that what they're doing is wrong. That's the source from there. He says, there's a time we must stand up for what is right and speak out against those whose behavior threatens our moral fabric. In this way, we will ensure that the house of Hashem remains intact and its master, whose essence is peace, will rest his presence in our midst.
What day are you on?
Day number 43. That was...
Well, I'm never to second guess of this time, but can't you critique the behavior without critiquing the person?
Yeah, but not when other people are learning from you. If you have other people who think that this guy's a very nice guy, but he just happens to have, you know, some bad leaders and does things wrong. So at certain times, it doesn't, we're talking about here that the person's not, he's not acceptable. He's not, it's not, not talking about a religious person who does one thing wrong. It's talking about a person who he's not interested. He's not listening to the rabbis, he had enough, he took his yamke, threw it off, frisbeed it, threw it out the window, and he's doing his own thing, and he's getting his car on Shabbos. You tell everybody, know what this person's doing. Who's wrong? Don't just sit back, oh, it's very nice, a beautiful person. But still also, sometimes it's important to let people know, especially children, to know that what this person doing is wrong. He's not a bad person. If he's struggling, we're not saying he's bad. What he's doing, we're not speaking against the person. We're saying what he's doing is wrong.
The behavior.
Because sometimes it's important to tell people this, obviously become this person sometimes, so people know what you're talking about. But we're not trying to knock down the person. Chazan says exclusively, it's not to degrade the person. Not to degrade him. It's that we don't learn from his bad ways. Right? Good.
Would an example be like someone who doesn't give his wife a get?
I'm just tossing that in the air. Because Chaim is saying specific things. This person threw us his observance. He's not saying a nice Jew who is doing one thing wrong. He's specifically a person who threw everything off, and he's not interested in talking to anybody. He's not interested in accepting rebuke. He's not on the chart. You can't talk to him. So make sure to tell people that this person, you should not do what he does. That's Chaim's specific thing. The guy didn't want to give his wife. That's fine. I'm saying most people, you don't have to tell them not to do that. Most people understand on their own that if there is a situation that they should give a get, that's the situation. But if you're able to influence a person to do it, of course you influence them. If the situation is that they're separated anyway and he's just holding back a get, if you could, you should try to influence him. Fine, let's go. We have a lot of Gemara to learn about Hashem because we have a quote we have to finish by the end of this man. We have another daf next. We need to get to the Mishnah on daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph Hashem. So we have another daf to learn. We have like a week. When do we have it till? You know we have it till? Don't know. We have this week and hopefully next week. We'll see if we have next week also. But as of now, we have for sure this week till the break. I don't know when the break's going to start, but we have for sure this week. We're holding Yud Amud Aleph. We're holding now the wide line. Gufa. We'll be starting the widest line in a second. Oh, that guy started the shirfa. Let's go. Gufa. He's like speeding with me. Gufa.
So 10A?
10A. We're holding now at the middle of the page. Lines to the top. That helps you. Gufa. So we're going to go back to the Gemara we started yesterday. We're trying to move a little bit. Everybody, hold on. Gufa. Arim halalu, these cities, these Ari Miklats, in Oisin Oisam, we cannot make them like Tirim Tanim, not small cities, but like Krachim Gedalim, and not big cities. Right? We say not small cities because they don't have big stores. Right, Menachem? Can't be a tiny city because the guys need to step out to go buy food. Make sure it's a city that's everything, all the provisions he needs, local, Makola, everything's good. But low Krachim Gedalim, not huge cities. We said a huge city. the guy, the Gol Adam, the rescue, you know, the redeemer of the blood is going to be very calm. And to be there, he's going to just get in the mood of killing the murderer. Ela Ayaris Beit Anias. Rather, it should be medium-sized cities. When we set up the Ari Miklats, we should set them up to be medium-sized cities. The Ein Mashivin Asam, we do not like set them up El B'makam Mayim, only if there's running water. Water there, sometimes a stream of water. So again, we don't want the murderer to have to leave. And if he's thirsty, he might have to leave. So make sure there's running water in the city. So first of all, it says it should be a pot like a water, there should be fresh water. Then Ein Shamayim, there's no water. Mevi'in Lahimayim, we have to make bring them water, we should make irrigation dishes. Basically, the city should make sure that there's running water in the Ari Miklat, so you don't have to, he does not have to step out. Good, so far so good? Katechana?
Yes.
Good. We don't want the guy to have to step out and be in the danger of being shot. The Ein Mashivin Asam El Makom Shvakim, the only place that they, with the marketplaces, you have the regular shopping malls, besides the regular stores to buy food. We also want to have to be able to stay in this city. The Ein Mashivin Asam, we do not set them up El Makom Ochlusin, where there is a close by inhabitants in the city next door. Meaning the nearby city, we said there must be a lot of people, in order that if all the Gol Hadams, all the redeemers of blood, decide to make an army, right? All the people in the city could go against them and help the murderer not get killed. Good? I'm afraid all the Gol Hadams are going to set up an army, Gol Hadam army. It would be called GHD. GHA. Gol Hadam army. They would try to make an army. If the inhabitants gets less, we have to add on bestness to make sure the inhabitants of the nearby city has a good, a nice number. Let's say the people who live in the Ari Miklat got less. So again, we're afraid the Gol Hadam is going to ambush to kill the murderer. Also, we bring Kahana Yisrael. We do not sell armor in the Ari Miklat, because again, we don't want the Gol Hadam to go buy a gun. The Ankle Mitzuda, we don't sell anything, any trapping stuff, no fishing nets. Never even a gun. No, they say it's allowed. So you're allowed to sell guns in the city. You don't have to be so crazy, you're not allowed to sell any guns. You're not to sell swords and guns, you're allowed. Right? The first youth is afraid that if you're going to sell guns, the Gol Hadam is going to come through the checkpoint in the city. They're going to check him. Security is going to check him. He's going to be unarmed. If you go to the closest gun store and buy a gun and shoot the murderer, but Chacham say no, you're allowed to sell guns. However, don't spread out nets. This is not the place to spread out traps for your animals. I'm afraid this guy's going to start spreading out traps for his potential murderer and he's going to fall into a trap, a booby trap. We don't set out traps. You don't set out the ropes, which means when they used to make these big nets, right, they used to set up the ropes.
Snare.
So they're saying over here, this is the wrong place. Find another city if you want that to be your business. Don't do it to Ari Miklat because we're afraid the Gol Hadam is going to come and set it up for the murderer to fall into the trap. So no making traps. If you want to sell fishing nets and fishing animal traps, go make them in a different place. Switch your, relocate your factory. Ari Miklat is the wrong place for you. Good, Rabbi Abraham, it's good so far? Good. Why? We don't want the Gol Hadam to be there. Again, according to the Chachamim, it's not so much a reason that we're afraid the Gol Hadam is going to buy these stuff. We're saying don't make attraction for the Gol Hadam. Don't bring anything, don't sell anything which they don't sell anywhere else. Good?
If the Gol Hadam lives in the year of the blood, do you have to change your name?
Best we'll probably send it to a different one because we don't want it to be in the same city. Let's say the Gol Hadam and the Levi. For whatever reason, probably we would separate them. I don't think we'd let keep them here. Best we wouldn't want them to because then we're afraid the Gol Hadam is going
to
be a hot one.
Does Best tell a person where to go to the airport, or does a person go to any airport that wants to?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Doesn't he have two people going with him?
He has two people going with him, but which one does he go to?
Earlier we covered that.
Good, crew. So I have two people going with him. And here with him, he's already in the Ari Miklat. They leave. They don't stay with him. They leave. The two people who walked in there, they leave. Now he's in a safety zone.
No, but they're saying, we're saying is they're going with him to one. If they know that someone's there that's going to kill him, they go to another one.
Right,
they can keep on walking.
Wait,
Correct. It would probably take him to a safe one, safe spot, I'm assuming.
No, does Rashi say anything?
No. I'm saying, it's asking a general question, like, on if what happens by Arabic, like, I don't see
so
any Rashi.
Call Adam apply before Martin?
Call Adam.
Is he apply before Martin?
Yeah. He's a protection.
Right?
Right, not really. Batsim can't really come.
Can't really kill him. So
no, Batsim is stuck.
Batsim will come to collect him.
Right.
Bring him back. He analyzes it doesn't belong in that place.
Nachon, they'll see. Nachon, Batsim will always see. Because anyway, after he went to Armikla, he comes back to Batsim. And they'll figure out, you know, if they know the Gwal Adam lives in that Armikla, they'll say, we're not going to, you know, it's not the best idea to put him in this Armikla. Correct.
As we said, later on about
Right, best established
as
Martin.
Down basically, you better do or not.
Exactly, good.
What is the murder kid before that one?
To the what?
The murder was running through the same class. Nicola Dam lived twice killing, by the way. The murder is faster if you kill Nicola Dam.
I think that's it. No, the Lachas don't want to kill you. You kill them first. I think it's fine. Fine. Let's see the Gemara first. So again, Chachamim say, you know how you shouldn't sell trapping nets in your city? Not like Rebbe Nechemya. Rebbe Nechemya said, you know, sell trapping nets and all these stuff in your city. We're afraid the Gual Adam is going to buy these stuff, right? What happens? He's going to come to the checkpoint, security checkpoint, check his pockets, clean. They walk into the first store that sells traps. And he's going to buy a trap and a gun. He's going to buy all those things, fill up his gun, and shoot the murders. How is it we're not afraid of such a thing? See, that's not the reason why you can't sell nets. The reason why you can't sell all these big trapping nets is because it's a commodity. You don't have it all over. We don't want to attract the Gual Hadam to the city where the murderer is living. Because you don't make great adventure in the Ari Mikla. Because you're going to attract the Gual Adam, right? Don't make a big shopping mall in the Ari Mikla. It's going to attract the Gual Adam to come there. Chachamim is saying, don't make any attraction. Don't sell anything that's going to attract the Gual Adam, attract the outsiders to come specifically to this town. That's the problem. Now there are no selling these fancy nets in the Ari Mikla. It's going to attract the Gual Adam. We don't want the Gual Adam, whose blood is burning, to be anywhere near the not to be anywhere near the what's it called near the murderer, because he's pretty upset at it, sounds like. Fun? That's Allah. Good. I'm going to say micro. What's the pasuk, your source for this that we see? You're telling me all these protective halakhas, how we have to protect the murderer. What's your source for all these halakhas? Made a whole set of rules, made up a whole page. It's not a whole security, you know, rule about the Ari Mikla. Where do you get all these security regulations from? Wait, who told you to make these regulations? It's, you know, just part of, you know, the Homeland Security. Who did this thing? Where did it come from? He said, what's the pasuk? Because the pasuk says that the man should run el achas min ha'arim ha'el to one of these cities. V'chayim, he should live. So we have to do everything that the pasuk said that can keep him alive. Obviously, we should do for him, it means these some things that to have it that he should be have alive. So our job is to make sure the murderer stays alive. So, which means make whatever safety regulations we have to keep him alive, make sure the Gual Adam is not going to come into contact with him. Got there, Baron? Good. Is everyone ready to go further? Hana, you ready to go further?
Yep.
Ruben, you ready to go further? Six lines from the wide line. Six lines down from the wide line. So we just heard easily before. What was the pasuk that you have to make the safety regulations? It says, "V'nas alachas and arma ele v'chai." He should live. It says in the pasuk v'chai, making sure the guy lives. Avul immediately to have the choice to do something that will keep him alive. Good. Further, Tana, we learned. Since Gemara we didn't see yet. Talmud shegala, a Talmud who goes to Kamas, Megalin Rabbi Imai. His Rebbe has to go to Galus with him. A Talmud who goes to Galus. His Rebbe has to go to Galus with him. Shadam Rakhda says, V'chai, he has to live. So not only has to live spiritually, physically, You also have to make sure this guy stays alive spiritually. Obviously, do to him maybe something that he have a lady that it should be for him. Chiyusa, he should have chiyus. He has to stay alive. If you don't got Torah in your city, you have no Rebbe, you're pretty dead. Even if you live physically, because spiritually you're dead. You're a dead man. Just living physically is not called life. Nachon? You have to keep him alive. You got to teach him Torah. How do you keep a guy alive? What's he going to do a whole day in the Iron Mikvah? Walk around, roam the streets? Got to teach him Torah.
Oh,
so the Gemara is going to say,
that's
the next line of the Gemara. No, it's very good. The B'chav to the Gemara, he's comparing, it's the same.
Kiva.
They could also, but the Gemara is going to say that, we're going to say that everybody can't learn Torah from, everybody has a certain Rebbe they can learn Torah from. The Rishayim asked Reuben is asking a good question. Why does this Rebbe have to go into college to teach him Torah? There's Levim there, there's a lot of rabbis. All they do is say and learn Torah all day. So the answer is that there's a Gemara that says that not every person can learn from every Rebbe. The Gemara says even as mutter from someone in living in Israel to go to Chutz La'aretz to learn by a Rebbe. You're not supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael. So no, every person can't learn by every Rebbe. Every person has a specific Rebbe who they can learn from. Because he's in Chutz La'aretz. So this guy, who he found his Rebbe, the Rebbe's going to have to go to Aryeh Mikvah. Got the answer? Not everybody can learn from every Rebbe, so he found this Rebbe, he's learning by. So then, the halacha is, his Rebbe has to go to Gaon. And we'll talk about it in a minute, what if his Rebbe is a Rebbe of a whole yeshiva? It's very nice if it was his private Rebbe. So it's private Rebbe, so let his Rebbe go to the Aryeh Mikvah. What about the whole big yeshiva? You send the Rosh to Aryeh Mikvah. The guy killed the Shaykh, Chas V'Shalom. You send him to Aryeh Mikvah, the whole yeshiva. The whole yeshiva is to go to Aryeh Mikvah because there's one guy? What's that, halacha?
Yes.
What you said? We'll see. Well, let's see.
Says the Rebbe should choose the Talmidim.
Yeah, so according to this Gemara, it sounds like a Rebbe has, but it could be this Gemara is only talking about a Yachid. It could be this Gemara is talking about if he's a private Rebbe. If he's a private Rebbe, he got to pick up his family and move to Aryeh Mikvah, even if he doesn't like it. Move out of Yerushalayim and go to Aryeh Mikvah.
Well, he has to go, though.
Who's he?
The one who took the shoulder. Why the whole family
has
to go?
Yeah, because a normal guy probably would want to live with his family. Most normal people.
Why would the family want to live with some guy who murdered?
Well, he did it by mistake. He did it in a car accident. His car killed the guy by mistake. His family is there, so he would rather live with their father. We know they're normal. Let's say they're normal. He killed by mistake. He was driving his car and he killed another guy in a car accident. I know a guy who had a driving car and he killed somebody. He drove into a wall and he killed the guy in the next
street.
His
family still killed his own guy though and he killed three.
Then the family has to go.
They'll kill all them. Kill the whole family. It's fine. Rebbe, let's try to stick to the Gemara. Let's go inside. So again, Tana. Talmud Shagala, a Talmud who goes to Gullus. Megalin Rabbi Imai, his Rebbe has to go to Gullus with him. Shenamar Klit says. Bachai, he has to live. Yeah, Akiva, the guy's not going to tell you, he's not alive. He's not alive.
Hey, you would have to go with me?
But, I don't know if I'm your Rebbe, but if I was called your Rebbe, maybe.
Rebbe?
But, I don't know. Bachai, I would like me to have a Lechius. Now, Hezri is a personal Rebbe. According to this first shot, it's a personal Rebbe who he only learns by him. He can't learn by anybody else. He knows he learns well by him.
You know I can't
learn. Amrim Zaira. Mikai, from him we learn. Shavoy Shana shit. Talmud Shayna Hagun. Keep me missing the bottom line. Don't learn with a Talmud who's not a good Talmud. If your Talmud kills someone by mistake, it means when you see Gemara later on something was wrong with him. And he does not, no one kills by mistake for nothing. He has to have, you know, some sour, you know, roots. Some bad roots. Here, no one kills for nothing. If a guy kills, it means something's wrong with him. So if you see a Talmud that's not a good guy, don't teach him. Because you might end up going to Aryeh Mikvah with him. So be careful. You hear Akiva? So don't teach a Talmud which is not a proper Talmud. Because you might have to go to Aryeh Mikvah with him. How good is proper? No, how good is proper? How good? Like a proper? How good? That's what I trust. Good. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, a rav shagoyla, a rav that goes to Golas, Megali Yeshivasi. The whole yeshiva has to go with him. Imagine the whole yeshiva. Until now, we didn't say anything about a yeshiva. Until now, we just said a Talmud goes to Golas, the Rebbe's got to go with him. Now we say not only just the Rebbe. Now let's say he's a big rosh yeshiva. The whole yeshiva has to move to Golas. relocate your yeshiva to the Ari Miklas. Probably not so bad. They'll have Levim around them, but the whole yeshiva got to go. So please, no one kill Bishagim so we don't have to leave your shrine. What? The whole yeshiva. Person, Eni, is it so? What does the word Eni mean? They all got to go. What does the word Eni mean? Hanan, what does Eni mean?
How is this?
Is it so? I have a Harvard, yeah. What? Everybody got to go with him. The whole yeshiva. Rabbi Yechanan told us, but he says, I don't understand. Maybe this guy is sitting and learning yeshiva. Why is he going to Ari Miklat? He shouldn't go to Ari Miklat altogether. Why? Because the Torah is protected. Yeah? Why do you go to Ari Miklat? The Ari Miklat protects you. Nachon? I said, what do you mean? Why can't the fact that he's learning Torah, that should protect him? Here, Rabbi Aaron, what do you say? The learning Torah alone should protect him. That itself should protect him.
No.
But
the same way our Amigdala protects. Oh, what I was going to say, it's very nice while he's learning.
Yeah.
But if he stops, take a peanut chew break. That was going to be easy. Stop the thing. Then the college dad's going to be waiting there to go until he stops, take a coffee break. Shoot. But I said, it's not going to help him. That's one term. Good. You hear about Rami? You hear the question? The Torah protects the person. So the Torah should be a shelter. You go to Miklat, the Torah protects you. The Torah should protect you. It doesn't have to go to Ari Miklat.
Nobody's going to kill you because the Torah protects
you.
No?
If they want to, they don't have to. If they want to, it's probably a nice idea to go with their father. He might be there for the rest of his life. Until the current God will die, he might very well be there for the rest of his life. You never know. So it would probably be smart for them. If they want to live there with their father, they could, you know. They're interested in him. Right? Well, that's one excuse, but usually most normal people don't want to live with their father. Like they're looking for an excuse not to live with them. Yet. Fine, so again. Sing white to the hub, Rabbi Yechanan. Minayin the retiro, Shehin called them. How do we know the retiro? That they, Shehin called that they absorb, which means they protect the person. If you learn Torah, they protect you from any outside issues. And also should protect you, just like it protects you from all types of bad things, bad punishments, and everything, should protect you also from the Baladam. You had a question? Shinar al Kapaz says, it's better of a midwar. It says, it's better of a midwar. And then it says right after, it talks about the Ari Miklat, which was better, it was one of the Ari Miklat. Then it says, that this is the Torah to teach you, that the Torah protects you like the Ari Miklat. So just if he's a Talmud Chacham learning by his Rebbe, let him learn Torah. And that should be good enough. And why is it like Kasha? It's not a Kasha. Oh, this is at the time. The Asik, but when you're toiling in it. When you're Isaac, you're toiling in the Torah, let it protect you, like an Ari Miklat. Haba in the Lai Asik, but this is at the time you're not toiling in the Torah, then the guy could shoot you. So if you're learning right now, the guy's not allowed to shoot you. You're like, you're in Ari Miklat.
You finish learning,
boom, you go to sleep, the guy can shoot you. It's not so smart to stay where you live, therefore you should go to Ari Miklat with your Rebbe and your Holy Sheep. It's probably smarter.
But wait, that's not all.
But
you want to protect you from natural death.
No, this Gemara is saying that it should protect you even since it says right near the word Betzer, one of the Ari Miklat, it says Torah, to teach you that even the Torah should also protect you like Ari Miklat, this Gemara says. The Gemara says, you're right. The Torah is such a power, just like Ari Miklat is a spiritual. Ari Miklat also is a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. Why is this city a safety zone for you? What's the difference? It was the Levium lived there, the spiritual force, field force. You can't touch anybody here. Also, the Torah, the very fact you're learning the Torah, that should protect you. I said, that's very nice. When you're learning the Torah, what happens when you stop? Then the guy's going to be waiting with his girlfriend. The second you stop learning, the second you sneeze, they go, ha! Probably you won't. Yeah, you can go to sleep. Okay, like, you know, in the bathroom, you make a hole outside the thing. You make a gun hole in the bathroom. You can go to the bathroom and shoot. Saying, therefore, he has to go to Ari Miklat with his Rebbe and his Yeshiva, because his learning Torah at home is not going to suffice, because the minute he stops learning, he's just going to get shot. Good?
No, it's not good. It's tell you what it means.
Oh! Ibai say, man, why second time it's like Rav Aaron? The first Tarot is, when we say it protects you, it could mean it could even protect you like an Ari Miklat. The Gemara says this is not my cult. What does it mean? It means it protects you mimalacha mavis, from the angel of death. In a physical way, it protects you. The sins you're learning Torah, it protects a person from the angel of death and all his messengers and all types of dinim, all types of bad things. Like what we have a story, which is known that if a person is learning Torah, the malacha mavis can't kill them. As long as the person is learning Torah, they can't kill them. It's a famous story, by the way, now, it's a famous story of David HaMelech also, that he could have died in Shabbat, so his Torah couldn't kill him until he stopped learning, right? You know the famous story, until a tree shook outside, and he got startled for a second, and he fell down the steps, and Malach Mavis killed him. So here's a similar story also. As long as the person learns Torah, the Malach Mavis can't touch a person. Right? He had a Rechista, like this for Rechista, having Yosef, he was sitting in the cars, he was learning with Rav, and the Spanish Rav. And he was not able to messenger the Malach Mavis, of the Malach Mavis. The Likrav to come close like to him. Why? So he did not close his mouth from learning. He didn't stop learning Torah. He kept on talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. So Malach HaMavis couldn't kill him. So what did Malach HaMavis do? This messenger do? Salaki went up. And he said, "Arza the bay Rav. Arza like an erida of the cedar tree, but the base medrash of Rav." That's the angels. He decided to sit on the tree. But then when he sat on the tree, Paka Arza. But the Arza cracked. The cedar tree cracked. Those big angels, if you're a destroyer angel sitting on a tree, it'll probably crack, you know? He sat on the tree and the tree cracked. So suddenly there's a big commotion, there's a big noise. Mishasik, Chista was quiet. He stopped learning for a minute. Mishasik. And then the Yachalei. And then he was able to get him. Then the Malach HaMavis was able to come. Since he stopped learning for a second, Malach HaMavis was able to get him. That's what happened to him. So we see, as long as the person learned the Torah, the Malach HaMavis can't touch him. The angel of death can't touch him. Got that story, Byron?
Does Rashi say anything?
Rashi say anything? So Rashi says a lot. So let's see now with two Rashis. It's interesting over here. This Rashi filled up the whole right side of the page. So he went to the left side of the page this time. See, Rashi went to here this time. Usually Tais is on the left side. Here's no Tais. Rashi took over the left side of the page also. What do we say over here? Let's see the top Rashi, the second line in Rashi. We said, right? We said a whole pasuk of all the, you know, the safety regulations you have to make and the Ari Mikla to make sure that the murderer stays alive. So Gemara says, "Micro, what's your source? What's the pasuk?" Then it's a kinyan alu that we mistaken. We set up the rights them. Davar shetrichem loy, the things that they need. Who told? What's your source? You have to set up for the rights of the murderer everything he needs in the Ari Mikla. So Gemara answers because it says v'chai. The pasuk says he should go to the Ari Mikla and he should live. How does he live? You got to make sure to give him the whole setup that he should be able to live. Next Rashi, l'talmud she'ena hakan. Don't teach a Talmud who's not proper. That his Aveira should not bring him to kill someone by mistakes, the eagle, and not to go to God. And we look along because why did they say later on? It's only found that you kill Bishaygi if you're a Russia. If a person is a Russia, he'll kill someone else Bishaygi. If you're not a Russia, you would never kill someone Bishaygi. Let's see if we want further. Amrim Tanchon. Amrim Tanchon Bar Chaniloi. Because of what Zachar Ruben, the Ruben merit, we monized to be counted by Hatzalot Chilom. In saving first. What does that mean? When we listed the Ari Miklot in the Pasuk, which Ari Miklot do we list first? We listed the Ari Miklot in the camp of Ruben, which was Bet. So we're saying, why did we speak about this Ari Miklat first by him before anybody else? Meaning, if you have a fancy Gemara, look on the side of the Pasuk, by Ches, on the side of Gemara, Pasuk number Ches, it says, Betzer Bamidbar, the Misher Eretz Misher LaRuvain, the city of Betzer, which is in the Midbar, in the plains of Reuven. And then it says, Ramas Bagil, Lagadi for God, Kodal Moshe Menashe for Menashe. The first Ari Miklat mentioned in the Torah is in the portion of who? Who's in the portion? Reuven. The Reuven, in the portion of Reuven. And why do we mention his Ari Miklat first? Gata Hanan?
Yes, why? Because he was the one who was going to say Yosef.
Ah, why? The reason is because Shenemar, because it says, what do we want to say further? Vayishma Reuven, Reuven heard about their plan that the brothers wanted to kill Yosef. That's Elihu Mialim, he saved them. So just like he tried to save Yosef from getting killed, so we'll make in his camp also, we'll mention first the fact that you can make a camp of refugee which will save people from getting killed. Good? Was happy so far? Let's see Rashi, the first narrow line of Rashi. On the left side, Rashi in the second column right on the left side. We said he started first. That why did the pasuk start with him? Why do we mention the first Ari Miklat in the portion of Reuven? So you know why? Because if you were the first one to try to save Yosef's life, we'll also write your name first in the Torah when it's referring to Ari Miklat to save people's lives. Good, so far so good. Everybody's happy. What do you say, Rabbi Yaakov? Fine. Daresh Reb Simlai. Simlai made a dress. Ma'alech said, what does the pasuk say? Oz Yavdil Maisha Shalish Arin. Then Maisha split up three cities. Be'ever Hayadi. On the other side of the Jordan, Mizrach HaShemesh. On the east side. Meaning, we mentioned earlier, who made the three Arim Miklats on the side of Ever Hayadi? Moshe or Yeshua? On the first side, Moshe. Who made the other three? Inside Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua. But what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says an interesting thing. By Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, then Moshe separated the three cities, the Neve Yadin, Mizrach HaShemesh, on the east side. So now, why does the pasuk have to tell me he set it up on the east side? Or one should say he made a shining light for the people where they knew where to run when they had to run. So why is the Pasuk say these words Mizrach HaShemesh on the east side? We know it's on the east side. It says Moshe Rabbeinu said the three Ari Miklat Mizrach HaShemesh. Those extra words are superfluous. Why are you telling me it was on the east side? Just tell me. Adal Moshe Mishalosh Ari Miklat Yarden. Moshe set up three things on the other side of the Yarden. Hear the question? Amalek HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe. Mizrach HaShemesh L'Rayitz Chayim. One pshat is, you made a shining light for the murderers. Because you set up these camps already, these camps are a place where the murderers could run now. So you made a shining light for the Rayitz Chayim, meaning you set up a place where the murderers could run and they could get saved. That's one pshat. Yigad Avi, here's an amazing pshat. Amalek, Hashem told him, his wrath the Shemesh L'Rayitz Chayim. Fine. So what does this mean? His wrath Shemesh L'Rayitz Chayim. Let's see Rashi. His wrath Shemesh L'Rayitz Chayim. What's the first shot? Let's see the fourth line Rashi. L'hachem l'hem chayusam. The first shot is, Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you shine a light for the righteous. Meaning, you set up all these rules that were a shining light for the murderers. You set up all these rules, that you have to make sure there's food, you have to make sure they have all the things they need in Ari Miklat. That's the first shot. What's the second shot? His wrath to Shemesh L'Rayitz Chayim. Bab, I said, Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, you made a shining light. But have double two when you separate it. And Hashem, look at Rashi, it's amazing Rashi. You know Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, Yafe Asisa. fine. So it says over here, Yafa Asisa. It says over here, you did good. Imagine, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu you did good. Know that? Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu you did good. Hashem told him like this. Moshe Rabbeinu set up 3 Ari Miklats. And the Pasuk said, it said he did it on the east, on the Mizrach Shemesh. Right? Now Mizrach usually refers to the east. Right? Because even though Mizrach is referring to the east. Right? The east side, where the sun comes up from. Now the Gemara wanted to know, what was the Gemara's question?
Why did you complete the mitzvah? It's not a complete mitzvah. You just did half the mitzvah.
Oh, comes Hashem and tells him, Yafa Asisa. This is what happened in this case. The 6 Ari, the whole mitzvah is 6 Ari Miklot. You have to do there's a mitzvah to make 6 Ari Miklot. Comes Moshe Rabbeinu and says, Hashem, I can't do all 6, so I can't come into Eretz Yisrael. But let me do 3. I want to do 3. You know what Hashem told him? You know what Hashem told him? Hashem told him, Mizrach Shemesh. You made a shining light. You know what means you made a shining light? You did very good. Hashem, you did very good. What was very good that you did? That you, like the Gemara is going to say in a second, about Moshe Rabbeinu, that you chose to be a Zaret. Imagine I tell you, there's a mitzvah you could do. Imagine you tell Moshe Rabbeinu like this. Really, there's a mitzvah to make 6 Ari Miklats, right? But you can't really do this mitzvah because you messed up and you're not going into Eretz Yisrael, right? How would we feel? Would we want to at least do half the mitzvah? We wouldn't be interested. You're telling me the 6 Ari Miklats, Moshe Rabbeinu, but you can't do this mitzvah because you know you're a messed up person. You can't go into Eretz Yisrael, so you're not doing this mitzvah, right? So we say, forget it. I'm not interested. I can't do the whole thing. I'm not interested. I'm not doing it. Don't do any favor, Hashem. I don't want. It's not for me. Don't tell me about this. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu did? Moshe Rabbeinu said, no. If I could do part of this mitzvah, even though I'm feeling hurting about this whole thing, I'll do 3 Ari Miklats. I'll separate 3. And Moshe Rabbeinu went, and he went and he separated 3 Ari Miklats. You know what Hashem told him? Hashem told him, his Rachta Shemesh. You made a shining light. Rashi says, Hashem told him, Yafa Asisa, you did good. So we said, what does the pasuk mean? Moshe Rabbeinu set up 3 Ari Miklats, and he did it in Mizrach Shemesh in the east where the sun was shining. You know what the Pshat says? Hashem was telling him, Hashem, you set up 3 Ari Miklats and Mizrach Shemesh, you were like a shining star and you did very good. Hey, Rashi said, it means Yafa Asisa, you did very good. Baruch Hashem, we should be like Moshe Rabbeinu.
Even though it wasn't,
you didn't complete the mitzvah, but you did what you can.
And Yoshua would finish it, so the fact is that
you did what you can. I know you didn't finish the mitzvah. You did what you can. You didn't give up. Yafa Asisa. Hashem says you did very good. Fine, Shkaya. So tomorrow we're going to try to hit down to the bottom. Try to hit down. We got halfway. Everybody said tomorrow try to hit down to the bottom. Fine, Shkaya.